just another white immigrant who speaks English. And no, I'm not from Australia or England. Jim Acosta. Sam Perjofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. If you would like to be on the program today, the phone number, 1-800-222-5222, and the email, I do check those during the course of the program, so do email me, sam@samnation.com. So, there is a little news story out there with big implications, and that is that Trump is considering removing Mike McMaster, or H.R. McMaster, excuse me, and sending him to Afghanistan, where you've heard there's been some rumblings that the war in Afghanistan is not going particularly well. And Trump has expressed frustrations with General John Nicholson Jr., who is leading the efforts. And this story actually has nothing at all to do with Afghanistan, at least not in large substance. Because the story is entirely about what H.R. McMaster is doing since he got into his position as National Security Chief. Now, the replacement that they're considering is Mike Pompeo. And Pompeo is currently leading the CIA, and he is certainly putting him far more into the Trump loyalist category than H.R. McMaster. And I'll explain why this is all important. It was reported a few days ago that H.R. McMaster, sometime in April, had sent a rather long and gushing email to one Susan Rice. Now, Obama at this point has been out of office for 4 months. But in spite of that, Susan Rice, who, by the way, is suspected of unmasking, right, ordering that the names collected in that incidental, right, an incidental spying data collection of U.S. citizens using those warrantless wiretapping means and devices. He, H.R. McMaster, sent her, and it's within his purview, to send her a letter authorizing her to continue with her security clearance. And he actually did away with something that's very important, which is a need-to-know basis. So not only did he give her, right, he gave her unfettered access to our nation's secrets, okay, things going back and forth, but he also didn't limit it in any way. And it has a lot of people who are hoping that Trump succeeds and are hoping he's got the right people around him, has them scratching their heads. Just going, what the heck? You've got a guy here who is leading Trump's efforts to collect, maintain, and disseminate intelligence information on the basis of which important decisions in foreign policy are being made. And at the same time, he's scratching the back of someone who has no business anywhere near our nation's secrets. Wait, there was an election that decided that people wanted Trump to replace the entire Obama-Clinton machine. I mean, that was the point of the election. And so, understandably, supporters of Trump are head over heels. People are really very upset. And so this news that Trump is considering moving Pompeo into the National Security Advisor position and moving H.R. McMaster over to Afghanistan is perhaps an effort to graciously oust him. That Trump, according to all sources here, they're reporting this, had no idea that McMaster had given Rice this particular authorization. And also, the same week, it bears some noting that McMaster, of his own volition, has fired three key Trump loyalists. There's a Ezra Cohen Watnick, and he was the NSC Senior Director for Intelligence, and also a kind of a key person who, within the Trump White House, was involved with some Israel policy. And the Israel policy he had worked on together with a guy named Derek Harvey, who also was fired. He was the Middle East advisor. all had to do with advocating the position of Israel over Palestine. And this was a core fundamental part of Trump's campaign promises. This was big. And Trump was elected, and people were done with this. This is where Trump and Obama differed greatly. Obama, from day one, from the very first minute that he went into office, went on an apology tour to the Middle East, explaining how awful the United States is and was, and explaining how we were going to make nice. And then sent some of his top aides and advisors over to negotiate with the Palestinians. And when that blew up in his face, he had to fire some people, if you recall. And that project went sideways. We lost valuable time in negotiating out what everybody wants is some sort of peace agreement in the Middle East. But the peace agreement won't happen if you negotiate with terrorists. And you have to start, the whole discussion in the Middle East has to begin with understanding that Palestine, the PLO, and Hamas in particular, are terrorist organizations. And you cannot in any way, shape, or form sit down as a rational human being and say, well, you know what? The Israelis over here, I mean, you know, they're really not any better than Hamas. And these people, including Rich Higgins, so these three people that were fired from the National Security Team were big advocates of this type of policy of understanding, look, we got Israel is a functioning Western democracy in the Middle East. Why would we turn our backs on them? It bears, there's no logical explanation for it. But this is not popular thinking inside the Beltway, and H.R. McMaster is beginning to show his true colors as a deep state operative. Always be wary, by the way, of anyone in Washington who has too broad of support. And this is my concern in some respects with General Kelly now as chief of staff. When you get somebody who has too broad of support, they haven't ever taken a firm position on anything, and they're go with the flow people. Now Breitbart, you can tell what's going on behind the scenes. I don't want to get too much into the palace intrigue, but behind the scenes is very clear that Bannon is in a fight to the death to oust H.R. McMaster. And how do I know this? I have it right here. Prepared a list. And this is just the first page of results. I have 10 articles from Breitbart News, all within the last 2 days, in various ways slamming McMaster. And I'm not saying I've read all these articles, and you know, for the most part, things that are cited here are accurate. But you can, with Bannon having been the previous CEO before he joined the Trump team of Breitbart News, you always have to go to Breitbart to kind of figure out what the Bannon view is, you know, because presumably he's talking to Breitbart, and he still is maintaining contacts over there. And so if he wants something advanced, a narrative put out there, it's coming from, it's going to be seen there in Breitbart News. But talking about this McMaster deal, trying to understand why McMaster would continue to give security clearance, full security clearance, unfettered access to our nation's secrets to Susan Rice, a totally corrupt operative of the Obama White House, blows my mind. It probably explains to some extent why when H.R. McMaster was appointed as National Security Advisor, you remember she sent out a gushing text. I don't have it in here in front of me. It was something to the effect of, I am so excited that this great person has been appointed. You know, I'm so happy, and I really hope he just does a great job and is able to appoint his team and has unfettered access to the President of the United States and this and that. Remember that. And I think this is all very interesting when you consider, too, the Washington Post story published today containing full transcripts of phone calls that the President of the United States had back in January with leaders of Mexico and Australia. Think about this. We have entire transcripts walking out of the White House. We are sitting here going, I wonder who here in the White House wants to do us harm. And 2 months later, 3 months later, you have a key member of the cabinet giving full access to a top Obama lieutenant? That's sabotage. There's literally no other word for it. And so this is a story that obviously needs to be examined. I will tell you this, in the greater, I would say, kind of context of what's going on here, there is a struggle inside of the White House to moderate Trump and to moderate him with mainstream, we'll call them more centrist, if not deep state Republicans. I said McMaster, he was, you know, recommended by Senator McCain, and Trump took the advice. We remember he was in a pinch. You know, exactly. I mean, he was in the throes of losing his national security advisor to a scandal, so he had to fill that position quickly, and so pulled this one out of the hat. It was more than likely a favor to McCain, who repaid it by voting against the bill to repeal Obamacare. But the greater context of it is an effort to moderate Trump. And the conventional thinking, which, by the way, lost Hillary the election, but the conventional thinking here is that Trump, in order to save the Republican Party, in order to save himself, in order to get this show of his on the road, he needs to moderate. And I think a pivot to the center is exactly the thing that Trump should not do in any way, shape, or form. Well, for one, you know, practically speaking, you know, he's going to lose more conservatives in this maneuver than he gains moderates. And that's a fact. You know, he's never going to now suddenly begin attracting moderate, you know, we'll call moderate Democrats. Trump isn't going to win over this hostile press. It's not going to happen. He won the election because he was a conviction-based guy. He was real. His opinions, you know, however you want to say about them, this is what people wanted after 8 years of Obama, after a disastrous foreign policy where we put America last, after this stupid deal that we made with Iran, and all the subsequent backup deals that then went on that you and I, we don't even know exactly what rolled out there. For 8 years, Obama gave away the score. Trump wants to roll it back, and you have these establishment voices, these establishment Republican voices, who want to stop that, who want Trump to moderate. So it's really this. It comes down to who do you want to listen to? When you look at the story and you say, well, is Trump really going to send McMaster off to Afghanistan? Is he going to replace him with Mike Pompeo, who's a more ideologically a closer ally to the president? What's he going to, you know, what does this mean? And hopefully this is something that Trump is seriously thinking about, because a pivot to the center moves to appease these people who want to do him harm. Why take advice from your enemies? Your enemies want to do you harm. And one of the best ways to do you harm is to give you really crappy advice. And all these Republicans in Congress, all these Republicans in the party establishment, Trump is a dangerous disruptor. To them, he represents a more grievous threat than even to opposition Democrats. For Democrats, he is at least a foil, which if they figured out what the hell they're doing, they would come up with an effective message to fight him. But the problem is with Republicans, he's not a foil. They can't use him as a foil. They've got to get with him because the party has changed. Thank goodness. Because Republicans were for years just Democrats light. I mean, they were, you know, they didn't know. They were Democrats light plus a little bit of religion. I mean, that doesn't sell. Nobody was buying. And Trump comes along and really cleans the message up. And it's not about racism. It's not about protectionism necessarily. It's about a common sense approach to our place in the world. And that common sense means we don't just sell the story. We don't let Susan Rice from Obama's camp walk out with all of our secrets. This is insane. All right, don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, okay, let me put it to you this way. This deal here, this news coming out that H.R. McMaster, Trump's national security advisor, very important position in the White House, that he had given back in April, authorized Susan Rice, who was Trump's national security advisor, had given her Obama's national security advisor, had given her full access to all current intelligence with no limitation. Now, the letter, there is a letter backing this up that's circulating. It's kind of odd because it doesn't have a date on it. But the Washington Times is reporting that this letter was sent back in April. Now, at any rate, I try to look and see and ask, is this common custom? Because do you have a national security advisor for an outgoing administration of a different party do this kind of back scratching? You know, is this common, you know, Washington, D.C. protocol? And my understanding is it's not at all, especially not when you've got a president who at this time was publicly accusing Susan Rice of unmasking his members, his name and members of his team during the campaign. You know, Obama was using our you know, spy tech to snoop on the Trump campaign. So I'm looking at this and I'm wondering, you know, why? Like, what's the purpose of it? And what I realize is that there's this permanent class of politicians in Washington for whom they see Trump as this flash in the pan aberration. Trump isn't going to be here. I mean, he may not, in their minds, he may not even survive this term. I mean, let alone he's not going to be here for two terms. And they see themselves as these, like, adults in the room, as the people that need to save the country from Trump. You know, the media calls it resistance, you know, but that type of idea. And the frightening thing, it frightens me because we have people who are unelected, who are directly opposing our elected leader because they think that they know better. You want to talk about elitism, you want to talk about cosmopolitanism. This is exactly how our country does not function. It is a literal subversion of democracy. And all the you can tell because there is a greater allegiance, it seems, from a guy inside of Trump's administration who comes in and who's put in an important position to his fellow members of the political establishment, even if they're of another party, greater allegiance there than to the president. Of course, did this happen to Obama? Not in a million years. Can you imagine transcripts of Trump's phone call, of Obama's phone calls leaking out? I mean, never. If they did, I mean, the Washington Post would never even print them. You couldn't criticize Obama. No chance. But the end result here is that in my view, in the view of many, many Americans who voted for him, how it was articulated in the campaign, Trump had a lot of strong ideas of how to proceed with our foreign policy and our domestic policy that people wanted. They wanted. That's why they voted for him. You know how frighteningly arrogant it is to then say to those people, you know what? You guys are a bunch of adults. You didn't know what you're voted for. You didn't know, you know, you don't know anybody. You know what? We're going to save you from yourselves. That's not a democracy. That's Venezuela. That's some third world, you know, tin pod dictatorship. Where the guy in the big, you know, big house up on the hill knows better than the people. So I worry about this. Like, this concerns me. And there's a lot of detail going back and forth, and I recognize that. But it, at the end of the day, it matters because it goes to the core of our democracy. It goes to the core of who we are as a country. And elections have results that have to be honored. And Trump, he should not take advice from people who are his enemies. And unfortunately, it seems to me he's got a few enemies within. All right, we've got John Wolf up next with the news, and I'll be back after that.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Berjovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Thursday night, getting through the week. We are live from the Sweet James Studios here in an undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. And speaking of people who want to undermine the president. Today, some revelations came out that the special counsel, special prosecutor Bob Mueller, has apparently impaneled a grand jury. Now, what this means, practically speaking, grand juries, they're like juries, okay? You have a series of people, usually 12, and they don't sit for a period of time like a trial. They're impaneled for months on end, and usually there's a term that they serve. They're sworn to secrecy, and they can do a number of things. Most importantly, they can charge a defendant with criminal violations, but they can also, very importantly, they can issue subpoenas, very broad-ranging, powerful subpoenas. So, if you are a special prosecutor, like Bob Mueller, and you want to get at stuff, let's say stuff that Trump has, papers and things, and you want to get you want to go as broad and as deep as you possibly can. You get a grand jury in, and if you get a grand jury in, let's say Washington, D.C., that grand jury is going to give you a lot of leeway. Yeah, you bet your bottom dollar they are. And now CNN is reporting that Mueller has expanded the investigation to not just Russia, but also to financial crimes. And this has always been the argument against having a general warrant. One of my law professors from Chapman, Professor Eastman, wrote a great article about this, about the dangers of a general warrant, a broad mandate given to investigate any type of crime. Because he mentioned Beria, right, the director of the KGB under Stalin. You know, Beria would say, "Find me the man and I will find you the crime," meaning he could basically, if you look deep enough into any person's past, you will find some crime or some law having been broken. And so Mueller is on this, what the right has been accusing him of, on a fishing expedition. And then my favorite senator, Rhino extraordinaire Susan Collins, today told CNN that President Trump cannot set red lines for Bob Mueller. This is basically a Democratic Party talking point. You have the special investigator and there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, so for me, when people say stupid things, I always want to go back to the facts. In which case, here, the most important document is the original memorandum that appoints Bob Mueller, or that appoints a special prosecutor to investigate Trump or to investigate this particular conflagration. So I dug it up. And it's... it's really an answer of mine to Senator Susan Collins, who says that President Trump can't set red lines for Bob Mueller, because Trump's people right now are saying, well, this is crazy. How are we investigating financial crimes? We're going back in Trump's tax returns and figuring out if he, you know, if he did everything right, crossed all his T's, dotted all his I's back in 1994. How far back are we going? For sure, Trump did things wrong. I guarantee you right now that Trump, as if you go deep enough, Trump or one of his people in his organization have committed some felony somewhere. And you know what? Anyone, most people have. That's, you know, they did a study on that, you know, taking average people and investigating it. It's very interesting. What was the statistic, Robbie? We looked at that. 3 felonies a day? Yeah, there's so many rules. Yeah, most people, the average person commits 3 felonies a day, not even knowing it. So when we come back, let me tell you, I want to take you through the original memorandum, because the memorandum spells out, gives the mandate to the special prosecutor. And it is an exact answer to all these people saying Trump can't set red lines for Mueller. Yeah, I think you'll be surprised. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, I was in traffic today, like many of you, on the 405. Could have been any freeway, but I was on the 405, and I'm driving along stop-and-go traffic, horrid. And I look over. There's a guy in an SUV next to me. And I had to do a double take because the dude was smoking from a bong in traffic. It's like, this is L.A. for you. I mean, these are the people that are out there on the road. Yes, be very scared. Got my French cousins here. Is that normal? Would that happen in France? No, would not happen in France. But it happens here in L.A. The guy's smoking weed in traffic. And I'm worried. I'm very worried for everyone who was in his path. So if the guy that is token driving on the 405 or the 101 or whatever freeway and ends up rear-ending you because he's in a great ethereal state, you know what to do. You got to call Attorney Sweet James Bergner, because he is the lawyer to trust. If you are rear-ended, hurt in an accident, have any type of injury where someone else is responsible, call Sweet James and get assistance, okay? Get the help you need. At very least, he can give you some advice and tell you what you need to know. 1-800-881-2021. Do not forget this number. Have it. Keep it in your hip pocket. Never know when you need it. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rogowski back behind the Sam Nation microphone. And we are talking about the Democrats and even some Republicans' efforts to now dissuade Trump and his allies from creating any kind of red lines, or talking even about red lines for the investigation that is being led by Bob Mueller, the famous special prosecutor, the Torquemada of Washington. Now, they're all saying, yeah, Trump can't, you can't set red lines. You can't do it. Can't do it. Don't do it. And for me, the mandate of a special prosecutor, I'm looking at this as a lawyer. Go back to the original document that appointed Mueller in the first place. So I pulled it up. And if you'll remember, this is the memorandum that was written by Rod Rosenstein, the acting attorney general who stepped in the shoes of Sessions when Sessions recused himself. And this letter here is dated the 17th of May. And I won't read the whole thing to you, but it basically appoints the special prosecutor, talks about on whose authority it's based off of. And then Under paragraph B, it says the special counsel is authorized to conduct the investigation confirmed by then FBI Director James B. Comey in testimony before the House committee on March the 20th. So that testimony, by the way, if you'll remember, that was all about Trump-Russia. Or it was all about Russian interference in the election. It really wasn't even Trump. It was Russian interference in the election. And it says, including, and there are three specific things that Rod Rosenstein authorized Mueller to investigate. One, any links or coordination between Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign of President Donald J. Trump, and any matters that arose or may directly arise from the investigation, and any matters within the scope, and that scope, and then it gives a federal code. I looked up the federal code, and the federal code is, this is subsection A, deals with the authority of a special counsel to investigate things like perjury. That, you know, like if you lie to the special counsel, if you lie to Bob Mueller, one of his investigators, you can be charged with that. So incident, things that are incidental to the investigation. There's a limited scope here. My point is if it was meant to be unlimited, would this not have just not had any subsections? It would just say, go ahead, investigate. See, this is where the media ought to be looking at this, and they ought to be presenting the news. I'm not here to, I wanted to see. I mean, if this memo had been open-ended, I would have said, geez, Trump's in trouble because this memo is open-ended, and I would have given it to you straight, as I am now. But unfortunately, literally everything you are hearing today in the mainstream media has no real relation to the facts of what this memo allows and does not allow. So think about that. All right. Back right after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation. You know, just a little bookend on yesterday's chit-chat about Trump's new immigration policies. You know, I'm still in shock over it. I'm not going to lie. This all had to do with laying out a points-based system for immigrants coming into this country and wanting a not just a visa, but a green card, right? And the points-based system gives value to certain skills and attributes. I'm going to say skills and, we'll say, resume bits. So for one of the points, for example, is for what kind of an income you have relative to the median income in your country. And another point is, can you speak English? And you'll remember the heated exchange that Miller, advisor to the president, Stephen Miller, had with Jim Acosta of CNN, where he said, "This is racism." See, this is exactly it. This is code for wanting to exclude people of color from the United States. And Miller really had Acosta let Acosta have it from both barrels, because he said, "Look, I mean, this is absurd. People all over the world from different continents, many of whom, by implication, are not white, speak very good English, if not excellent English." And I made some comments yesterday about assimilation, got a ton of heated responses to that, because apparently the word assimilation is racist too. I'm learning all this new stuff by doing the show. I want to talk more about this tomorrow. I really do. I really do, because I think it's such an important discussion about who we are as a country. You know, when you hear about, you hear from the media, you hear from the left about political divisions. We're so divided as a country. We're so divided. I look at Canada. There's a divided country. You got the Frenchies over in Quebec. You got the English speakers to the west. They hate each other. The Quebecois are passing laws that are saying, you know, you would know English. There's just, you know, language and assimilation and unity all go hand in hand. It's really important. We want to be one nation, one people. The liberals, what they want to do, and this is why I am a conservative, it goes to the heart of who I am. I believe that we can be one nation, one people. We can have our differences, but those differences come second to who we are as Americans. The left at every turn wants to put us in little boxes, into little categories. You're black, you're white, you're gay, you're straight, you're this, you're that. And they consistently continue to break up, make, create further additional boxes and categories for us to fit in. And I think that when it comes to who we are as a country, when it comes to building a greater, stronger America for tomorrow, got to do away with all those boxes. And it starts with having a common language. It starts with English. It starts with getting the right people here who want to assimilate. Assimilation is not a racist action verb. I promise you this. So I'm going to get into this tomorrow. A show you do not want to miss. Sam Rogowski, over and out.
Talk Radio,
790 KABC.